Your World War III update. Look, guys, before I get into the news today, you got to understand something, okay? Every single thing that Trump, Pete Hegseth, Marco Rubio says as it pertains to potential upcoming operations with Iran should be relegated to the realm of disinformation and trickery. For some people, that should go without saying, right? Most of you guys are on the same page with me, but there's still people who need reminding. We've been conditioned to submit to authority, even though we know these guys are completely 110% full of shit. You need to approach this with extreme levels of skepticism, especially at this stage of the game. And I'll put it in a way that's very simple to understand. There are only three reasons why they tell us anything at all. And two of those reasons are simple. One is to try to manufacture consent for more war or kind of gauge where public opinion is. The other is to try to assuage the markets when they're getting a little hot. So market manipulation, and of course their machinations in that respect have been getting more and more sophisticated. I'm going to break that down today because they have these very clever ways of convincing people, even though Trump's market manipulation has become a mainstream meme now, he still holds this sway over people. But lastly, and perhaps most importantly, the reason why they deliver any public messaging whatsoever is to try to obfuscate for the adversary. It's just high-level subterfuge. Because what I think a lot of people underestimate here is that we are in a war with an adversary who has, and I don't want to say we, because I don't subscribe to this war. I think it's stupid, completely unnecessary. But it just so happens that I'm on this side of the rock. Now, they have signals intelligence, which the Vietnamese, the Iraqis, the Afghanis, the Libyans never possessed. And what that means is that they can see what we're going to do before we do it. And they have human intelligence via proxy networks that a lot of those other countries never had. Iran is a real tough nut to crack from a military point of view. And it ain't going well, or at least it doesn't seem like it's going as well as they thought it would go. So what you need to remember when Trump comes out with his address tomorrow night, he might say something like mission accomplished. He'll use all these bud words. And regardless of how many times this guy has lied to us, we are just helpless in succumbing in some way, shape, or form to every single word that he says as it pertains to this issue. But just be very careful, because at this point in time, when he says mission accomplished, I think that's when it's probably going to be go time. Okay? Because remember, it's an attempt to try to fool the Iranians who, if they're smart, don't even watch U.S. media to try to gauge what our intentions actually are. Now, if you want to gauge what the intentions are and avoid being beguiled by the Beltway, well, for that, you just look at what they're doing. And what they're doing is sending, and there's an imminent deployment of another aircraft carrier, the George H.W. Bush, which is going to be descending on the CENTCOM area of responsibility in around 2 to 3 weeks, which is the same amount of time that Trump said today in one of his addresses that, yeah, we should have things wrapped up right around then. Okay, well, what else is going to be reaching the Middle East at that point in time? Well, you have the Boxer Amphibious Readiness Group. All of these ships are going to be linking up with the Gerald Ford, which is currently being serviced in Croatia after that laundry fire. And that one has an extended deployment of 11 months, as well as the Abraham Lincoln and the USS Tripoli Marine Amphibious Group. Okay? Plus, you have all the special forces that are deployed throughout there. You have the 50,000 U.S. troops scattered across various military bases and whatever else we don't know about, because we don't really know how many troops are at these facilities. It's anecdotal, but I've been getting a lot of messages from people who are getting their deployment papers. And these aren't Marines. These are not people who are in the Navy. So these are just, you know, general military. And then you have the 400,000 IDF reservists that are being called up. You have all of the potential insurgents lying in wait in Kurdistan, as well as Balochistan. And then you also have probably quite a few sleeper cells and clandestine networks operating inside Iran that are waiting to be activated. So the Iranians are saying, we ain't negotiating with anybody. Who's this guy talking to? Okay, and there's so many contradictory messages. One of the main things I want to do today is to try to help you decipher and delineate exactly what is going on and pierce through that obfuscating rhetoric that is coming out of the White House. And I want to show you a tweet that I made back in January 5th. I've predicted a lot of things, and I've got a lot of things right. It's almost high time I do some sort of compilation, but that might be a bit too self-aggrandizing an endeavor for me. But at some point, I might have to do it just to, you know, validate people to want to give me your time. I value your time. The fact that you are watching me right now, you guys don't realize how much I value that. Some people just get on here and phone it in. I do a lot of research for these videos, okay? And this is what I wrote on January 5th when everybody was like, oh, ain't nothing going to happen. Well, not everybody. A lot of people in our circle were like, oh, yeah, shit's going to go down. Based on the playbook lately, the USA and Israel will run a months-long grind. Remember, this is January 5th. The USA and Israel will run a months-long grind on Iran. Force readiness fatigue, stir internal unrest, float peace talks, then take another decapitation shot the moment Tehran blinks. A pager-style stunt could be the spark. I wouldn't bet anything on anything immediate, but the whole point is to blindside you, and if there is a prelude, it is finishing Lebanon first. Now, I was wrong about the Lebanon thing, but they're doing it concurrently with operations in Iran. But a months-long grind? When did the war start? At the end of February, right? Induce readiness fatigue, float peace talks, commit perfidy, same old textbook stuff. And so if Trump comes out tomorrow, and this is when, you know, red flags really start to go up. If he starts to say mission accomplished, and you know that all of this heat is descending on this area, you know exactly what's about to go down. These guys don't give a shit at this point. Okay. And I'm going to talk about the reasons why they cannot just extricate themselves. They cannot just walk away from this. Okay. So I have this little dissertation that I'm going to present today. And please sit with me because you ain't going to hear this shit anywhere else. Because I'm going to tell you what's about to happen. Just before we get into that, there's been more refineries and petrochemical related facilities struck inside Russia today. There was another ship that was struck in the Persian Gulf just about an hour and a half ago. And I don't think it sunk. It was above the waterline, apparently. I want to revisit this statement from the Italian defense minister who can't sleep at night because of events that might unfold this week. Trump is building golden statues to himself. I mean, what else is new? And there's repressed people in the White House who are engaging in obscene levels of Freudian projection and reaction formation and all other kinds of psychoanalysis that we're going to break down as to why these fascists seem to loathe that which they truly are. It's a really messed up world out there, man, isn't it? It's like the American Beauty thing. Yeah, that, you know, you got to go back and watch the American Beauty movie again because that predicted a lot of stuff that's going on right now. Okay. So anyways, let's really get into this because today Trump says 2 to 3 weeks. Well, he said a lot of shit, right? He says everything. He just throws every possible thing out there just to try to distort reality just enough so you never know what the hell's going on. And he says, first off, he says 2 to 3 weeks. But I want to start off, I'm reading some notes here. This wasn't him who wrote this. This was me who wrote this. And this is an original quote from me. Wars never end in negotiations. You can have a brief detente, a brief ceasefire, but they seldom ever end in negotiations. The war between South Korea and North Korea is still ongoing. Just hasn't been decided yet. It only ends ultimately in victory, defeat, or collapse from within, kind of like the Soviet Union. The only reason why the Cold War ended is because the Soviet Union collapsed, okay? Now, the reason why yesterday oil kind of pulled back a little bit is because they did something very clever. They understood that Donald Trump is manipulating the markets with tweets. Everybody knows that, okay? By Friday and after the second taco, where he gave them 10 more days to just commit war crimes on Iran and blow up all their power plants and things like that, people are like, okay, you know, we get what you're doing here. Every, you know, person with a low IQ finally clued in to what was going on. So they have to get a little bit more clever. So what do they do? I believe it was the Wall Street Journal. They came out and they found a very interesting way to make this dovish messaging look genuine, because oil was starting to creep up. And had Trump not said anything or done anything, or there been no signals coming out of the White House, I think we would be sitting at over $110 a barrel today. So what they did is they ran this story where they said that there was something leaked to a Trump aide about him potentially wanting to quickly extricate himself from this conflict. Now, people just ran with that without asking what aid were they referring to. Why was this information leaked to us in the first place? You know, why would he talk about this? Why would this be disclosed? Especially when we know that, I think it was a few months ago, the White House cracked down on information that was coming out of the Oval Office. They put in new rules in place to make sure that information could not be leaked in this way. Okay, so when you hear information of a White House official says that a Trump aide said that Trump leaked something to them, or, you know, heard Trump say something about his attempts to conclude the conflict, then you need to take that with a massive grain of salt. You have to ask yourself, why are you getting that information in the first place? But when they present it in this way, when it appears like a leak or something Trump did not intend to be heard by the public, then people buy it. And so everybody piled into the markets once again. And I don't even think it's people. I think it's a lot, mostly algorithms doing the trading. And there's a certain threshold of interest. So you get all the dupes. And there's a lot of dupes on Wall Street too. But I think a lot of them are probably insiders, and they know when it's going to go up and when it's going to go down. They know it's probably going to go down tomorrow. And then maybe on Thursday, it's going to skyrocket because Trump's going to say some shit because people are gullible. Then you have Pete Hegseth coming out today, and he's making all of these weird religious appeals. I mean, stuff that you would expect. I mean, the guy's got the Crusader tattoos, and I've been talking about ever since he was brought in that he was there to be the G.I. Joe and try to mobilize forces and try to boost enlistment numbers and things like that. I've been saying that for years. I said that this is their G.I. Joe guy that they want to bring on. And he was quoting religious scripture, and all of this was a dead giveaway that they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to support, even within MAGA. Now, that's not to speak disparagingly about people who believe in Christianity. I do not think that that should be weaponized for this particular purpose, to fight wars for Israel, who wants to bring the whole house down eschatologically. And as far as I know, they don't view Jesus in a very good light. So as an agnostic, I'm asking myself, why the hell are you going and sacrificing yourself for these people who think that your savior is just another nobody? Anyways, I digress. So he is talking about potentially, maybe or maybe not, deploying boots, putting boots on the ground. All of this around the same time when Trump is saying, well, we don't care if the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. That is the biggest load of shit. What has he been saying for the last few weeks? What is this ultimatum all about? It's about, if you don't open the Strait of Hormuz, we're going to start lighting up your power plants. So immediately a lie. So you have Hegseth making these religious appeals, right? And you know they're only doing that because, again, they're really trying to garner any sort of support that they can at this point in time, because they understand that the clock is ticking. And if they don't have a false flag soon that pulls on the heartstrings of people, then, you know, we could start to enter a phase of anti-war protest. And it's way too early for that for these guys. All right. So we know we have troops actively deploying to the region, and that's a pretty dead giveaway in and of itself what's about to happen. But we must continue. So, again, you would not threaten war crimes. Threatening war crimes if it wasn't a big deal and Europe was going to deal with it. So, Pete also claimed today that Iran must make a deal or feel the might of the U.S. military. But wait a minute. I thought Trump just said, we don't care about a deal. We're just going to leave. So what's the big deal about making a deal? So clearly somebody's lying. So if you can kind of overlay, you know, if you can, maybe there's a computer program that can do this, see what Hegseth says, see what Trump says, and find the nodes of contradiction. And from that, you can get some sense of what's really going to happen. So again, the biggest thing is the threatening of war crimes. You would not do that, threatening to attack high-value civilian targets, if this was a war that you thought you could just exit from easily. Trump complaining about NATO countries' lack of participation is evidence that they care about the Strait of Hormuz. Because why would you, like, why even make a big deal about it? Why make it a point of contention with your supposed allies if you're just planning to abandon ship anyways? He would not be doing this if the plan was just to walk away from the Strait of Hormuz. It only matters if they're planning on staying, okay? Now, Europe's in a really shitty spot because we over here are self-sufficient. And of course, a lot of this is a global energy war. It goes back to Nord Stream, and there's a lot of geopolitical macro moving parts with respect to the energy conflict that's unfolding here. And the U.S. wants to be the global energy hegemon as it pertains to liquid natural gas and oil. But so they expect the Europeans to make a lot more sacrifices than we might have to over here. And the Europeans are also playing a little bit of a part too. And I'm not too convinced by a lot of the leaders who are saying we're not going to allow the United States to use their air bases. I mean, we don't even know if that's true. Spain might be saying that, but they might be doing something on the other hand. Italy might be saying that you can't use this air base, but maybe you can use this air base. So, you know, take everything that they're saying with a grain of salt. Trump is not backing out of NATO. It's just not going to happen, because the whole purpose of NATO is to assert U.S. dominance around the world and to make sure that the Russians and the Europeans don't have some rapprochement that empowers both of those groups. So Rubio's threats to NATO countries, these are all hollow threats, especially the ones that were made to Germany today, okay? And the Germans are saying, well, we don't want to be occupied by the United States, and that's exactly what it is. So when Rubio makes these threats, so we're going to extricate ourselves from Europe, and you're no longer going to have our military support and fall under our strategic umbrella, that's just a steaming hot pile of BS. There's a reason why the U.S. has 50,000 troops in Germany, and it goes back about 70 years. Use your imagination. Germany is ostensibly under occupation right now, just like Japan. They ain't moving those troops from there. Ramstein is way too important, okay? And then, of course, there's the Nord Stream thing. There's keeping the Germans down, the Russians out, the Americans in, that whole thing, right? Everybody's heard about that. So disregard any, you know, threats being made to you. This is a very performative, feigning division. The same thing we see with, you know, the Italians, or not the Italians, the Israelis and the Americans, when, you know, you hear those stories of Trump phoned up Netanyahu and he read him the Riot Act, and all of a sudden, you know, 1 week goes by and he's got stealth bombers flying over Iran. Okay, it's all just fake. Entirely fake. It's as fake as these people right here. Every single thing in this administration and the next, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. And that is why people always wonder, where do you stand politically? The only place I can put myself on the spectrum is maybe libertarian. I have moments of anarchy where I just say, you know, screw it all. But anarchy, anarcho-syndicalist, libertarian, I don't know. Objectivist, you know, what are these isms and ists? What does it even matter anymore? I just want to be left the fuck alone, pay a little bit of taxes to make sure that the roads are well paved, and, you know, that's about it. But I digress. Iran has denied that any negotiations are ongoing. There's no negotiations. There have been some 15-point ceasefire propositions made by the U.S. government to some intermediary in Pakistan, apparently. but the Iranians have not responded. So there is no negotiations. That's the main thing that you should be considering right now. There hasn't been any negotiations. It's all just a lie. Like, it's purely a lie. Every single thing coming out of Trump's mouth, now he might believe it's true because they might have told him that it's true. Anyways, one of the main things is that their objectives have not been achieved. The objective was not to destroy the Air Force, destroy the Navy. The objective was to destroy the missiles and the drone capabilities, but that's something that they haven't destroyed because they haven't destroyed the missile cities. They claim that they have, but there was an assessment made the other day that said only one third were destroyed. They destroyed a ammunition depot, which was above ground. Everybody thought, ooh, it was a missile city, and later it was determined it was above ground. That was just yesterday. I showed you a clip of that. So they haven't achieved any of their objectives. The main objective was to hurt China. That didn't happen. In fact, the opposite has happened. You've now empowered the yuan, because now Iran is saying we're going to trade in yuan. We're going to sell our oil for yuan. And we're now going to collect a toll, which probably will ultimately have some inertia to it that pulls other people to start trading in yuan and abandon the petrodollar. And when you abandon the petrodollar, when you're sitting on $40 trillion of debt and however many hundreds of trillions of derivatives and liabilities that are built on this financial artifice that we've created here in the West, all of it is staked on the global reserve currency. If those dollars start flooding back to us, that's wicked inflation, okay? And we might have all the oil and gas we want while the rest of the world dies in famine, but that means that everything is going to be way more expensive. Now, I'd rather be in that situation than dying in famine, obviously. It's a first world problem if there ever was one, but there is going to be a lot of unintended negative effects, okay? So, regime change. They never accomplished that. Oh, we changed the regime. You decapitated, and what you did is you put in more hawkish people who are probably more cunning, more capable. You've taught the Iranians that they don't need an air force or a navy. They need to focus on asymmetry. They need to build more missile cities because clearly whatever they're doing is working enough to keep all of these aircraft carriers well out of striking distance of the Strait of Hormuz. They simply won't go there. Trump is like, we did the hard part. Now you guys can go in there and do the easy part. What? You pushed a few buttons, okay? You had total air superiority with the exception of a few planes that you lost. That's not hard. That's not the hard part. The hard part is what you do afterwards, okay? They want to steal the oil. Let's be abundantly clear. I think Iran has, what is it, the fifth largest. It's one of the largest supplies of oil. It's the good stuff. It's the good high-quality oil. And they would love to get their hands on all of that oil, not counting all of the other resource wealth that exists across that vast expanse that is Persia. And they want to get the nuclear material because now they're in a really shitty situation. Iran is definitely making a race for the bomb if they don't already have it. And Iran's not going to give up that enriched material, certainly not to the United States of all people or all countries or Israel for that matter. That's their leverage. That always was their leverage as a nuclear threshold state. So now they got to get this nuclear, highly enriched material. We don't even know if they're doing it. I mean, look, I think it would be dumb to think that a country of, what, 93 million people with an average IQ of 105, which well exceeds what it is in the United States, just for the record, and Canada for that matter, it would be dumb to think that they don't have other centrifuges underground and that they haven't already made bombs. I mean, it would just be stupid to think otherwise. They have all the uranium there. They have everything they need in their country to do it. Okay, so the IAEA can't be everywhere. So they didn't get the material, nuclear material. They didn't get the oil. They didn't stop China. They only empowered China. And for the record, China has been preparing for this moment. You know what we've been talking about the last couple of years? China's been stockpiling grains, oils, gold, guns. They've been ready for this. They have 1.5 billion liters of oil in their barrels of oil in their strategic oil reserve. which is three times, more than three times the amount of the United States. Now they have a much larger country, but they're also more diversified. I mean, they have coal, they have nuclear, they have the biggest boom in renewable energy production. And although friend of the channel Doomberg doesn't think that that counts for much, I mean, they added 500 gigawatts of electricity last year, and that's five Canadas worth of electricity in 1 year just in solar, all right? Which would explain the silver prices. The next point is Israel. Israel is going to do something because they have this whole Greater Israel project that they want to achieve. They want to build a pipeline from Saudi Arabia through Kuwait or Syria, wherever. And they probably, not probably, they obviously have ambitions in Iran, and they would love to take some of that pie for themselves. And of course, as much as I think that there's a myth of Israeli-U.S. division on this particular topic, I do think that if they acted autonomously, it would be in their interest, and it would be towards the end of more war with Iran. Okay, I don't like this idea of scapegoating Israel as being the reason why we're in this situation. Trump's not an idiot. He's not a little kid. He can make his own decisions. Netanyahu didn't twist his arm, like some people say. This absolves the U.S. of responsibility. This is the U.S. who is emboldening and enabling the Israelis with American weapons. They're looking the other way from an Israeli nuclear weapons standpoint. And none of this would be happening without the United States. So, you know, leveraging this patsy proxy Israel as the fall guy that everyone can direct their hate towards. And it's not hard when you have them passing legislation that's going to effectively create extermination camps for Palestinian prisoners who are not even proven to have committed any crimes. We're being tortured on a regular basis. I mean, there's Israelis who are protesting that. It is such an egregious injustice. So there's Israel. That in itself, you know, I could have just ended the video with just that, because Israel's going to do what Israel wants. And I think that if they get the sense that there's going to be some sort of withdrawal, if there is this division, which I don't necessarily agree exists 100%, then they'll do something. They'll do a false flag. They will find a way to keep the United States there, and it's working, whatever it is. Maybe it's just the Epstein stuff. Who knows? You know, who knows? I think that's somewhat of an oversimplified view of all of this. It doesn't take into account the geopolitical realities that exist, especially with China. To relegate it all to these guys trying to avoid catching a case over diddling kids with the Epstein thing. Yeah, maybe there's an element of blackmail going on there, but this is bigger than this. In the grand macroeconomic chessboard, it's much bigger. Apparently, the Pentagon is deploying laser drone defense to Rubio and Hegseth's residencies. So, and their residencies, just for people who don't realize, they're living on military bases. All of these people, including this chick right here, are living on U.S. military bases. Why? Maybe they expected civil unrest, a civil war. Maybe they expect World War III. Or maybe they expect this situation to deteriorate so bad that they're going to be targets for assassination. And that's why they're living on military bases. And you don't do something like this if you're getting ready to pack it in and wind things down. These are long-haul moves, all right? They just raised the enlistment age by 6 years during a war, automating selective service. All of these things point towards mobilization at some point down the road. Usually they do these things well in advance of whenever they're going to use them, but it seems as though the timeline could have been accelerated because maybe things didn't go as planned in Iran, or maybe they did, and maybe they're just getting ready to make their move. Everybody thinks, well, you know, they underestimated the Iranians. Maybe. Or maybe they're still waiting for these clandestine networks inside Iran to make a move, because we haven't seen much of that yet. We've seen a few videos of guys running around shooting at IRGC trucks. We don't even know where those videos are from. They could be from Syria. They could be from Lebanon. I mean, you just never know. But we haven't seen a real coordinated insurgency just yet. And them floating the idea of Kurdistan, that's still on the table. I don't think the Azerbaijanis, that the Iranians can trust them because they've allowed the Israelis to use their airspace in the past, especially to run that operation that they recently did on the Caspian Sea, where they wiped out Iran's navy in the Caspian Sea. So the Iranians are waiting for the Americans and in many ways goading them in to coming in on the ground because they know it's going to be a disaster. And this is where they can have some sort of operational tactical parity. Walking away from Hormuz at this point in time would be the biggest blunder. Hey, do it. I think it'd be great. I want to see the war end, but it's not going to lower gas prices because you just gave all the cards to the, they're never going to do this. They're never, the idea that they're going to walk away after Trump threatened to do war crimes if they don't allow ships to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, which isn't a problem, but it's also Europe's problem. You see, there's just, they try to confuse the hell out of you. He ain't going to threaten war crimes if they don't open the Strait of Hormuz for nothing. They ain't just abandoning the Strait of Hormuz and leaving it to the Iranians to hand out, you know, to take tolls or just extort people coming through the Strait. That's not how this is going to work. It's not going to happen. They're going to try to have to find a solution, and it's likely going to be messy, and it is going to involve boots on the ground. In fact, the United Arab Emirates had said today, an official had indicated that they are, in fact, getting ready to assist the United States in this sort of operation. And when that happens, bye-bye desalination plants. Bye-bye everything in the UAE. Andrew Tate and his $300 million worth of real estate is going straight down into the pisser. Okay? And that, of course, will prompt a retaliation from the Americans and the Israelis on Iranian civil infrastructure. You know, there's this expat pro-monarchist Iranian model or whatever who's going viral, and she's blaming the IRGC for her cousin who died as a result of Israeli bombing in Iran. There's a lot of really brainwashed people out there throwing around numbers like 30,000, 100,000 people killed in 48 hours. Complete and utter bullshit. There is no way in hell. They don't have the names of these people. This is just completely made up nonsense. And you could watch the numbers and the propaganda go up and up. First it was 2,000, then it was 5,000, then 10,000, 20, 100. It could even be more. No, you know what you are. It's an R word I can't say on here, but it's complete bullshit. And a lot of those people, you know, I don't want to say too much, but I can't think of anything worse than being such a cuck, you know, such a simp. I see some of these people talking to these, there was this one guy who was, he claimed that he was an Iranian guy. He's talking to some Israeli girls on one of these, geez, I'm going to date myself, but chat roulette style websites where you scroll and you talk to people. And he's like, thank you for bombing my country and liberating us. And they're like, we're not trying to liberate you. We're trying to kill you. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's good. And this guy's just simping, you know. And I'll just never understand it. You know, I'll never understand. Well, I do kind of understand, because remember, the number one killer throughout history is fratricide. It's killing your own people. It's Slavs fighting against Slavs. It's Koreans fighting against Koreans. It's Vietnamese fighting against Vietnamese. A lot of these, the biggest, bloodiest conflicts are internecine conflicts. The Civil War in the United States. So it's not surprising that these people wouldn't care if their fellow citizens and people who share a similar ethnicity and lineage get clipped. I mean, it really isn't when you think about it. So I guess there's no confusion surrounding that particular issue, is there? I just reasoned my way through that on air here. None of this, of course, takes into account Iran's demands. And what are Iran's demands? Well, they want to be able to walk around their leaders and see the light of day without being spotted and having a missile fall on their head. They're never going to be able to do that again unless they have some deterrent. And the only way they establish deterrence now is nuclear. They're never going to be able to get their reparations. They're demanding reparations for all the damage that has been done. They're wanting like $1 trillion probably or something. They want security guarantees. And they want demilitarization of the Gulf states. They want all of the U.S. military expelled from the Middle East. None of those things are going to happen. So no matter what Trump says tomorrow, you just need to understand that it is complete steaming hot pile of you know what. And again, Iran has now evolved. Okay, and this is, they're now battle hardened. And so if you walk away now, if you're the U.S. military, you have a battle hardened Iran who's now been able to adapt to your methods. They know your radar signatures. They've went up against your absolute best stealth bombers, F-35s, Tomahawk missiles. They know what they need and what they don't need. And so now they're going to multiply those things that worked and minimize the things that didn't. We don't need a Navy. We might need UUVs, underwater unmanned vehicles. We might need more speedboats that we can hide in tunnels. Maybe we need to fortify our tunnels a little bit more. Maybe we can build our tunnels in a way that is going to resist the blast, because this is what we learned from that particular war that we just fought. Maybe, you know, how they deploy other assets like drones and anti-ship missiles and just where to position certain things, what works and what doesn't. You just help them evolve and level up. So now if you leave, not only have you left a really bad taste in everybody's mouth, and not only that, they're going to be emboldened. They're going to view it as a victory, and that is going to increase recruitment and increase patriotism and pride, even amongst those people who were protesting and maybe still really dislike the mullahs. They're going to probably have a little bit of pride knowing that their country fought off the greatest military in the history of the planet. And when I say fought off, I don't mean like some of these people, Iran won. You see, there's two conflicting viewpoints. One, whoa, there's big explosions in Iran. The United States is winning. And the other is Iran's not dead yet completely. There's still a pulse, therefore they're winning. Both of these perspectives are way off base. The truth is somewhere in the middle. Just because Iran limps out of this thing alive doesn't necessarily mean they have won. Because, of course, won for how long? They're just going to come back in 2 months and do it. Unless there's a deterrent, which it seems like, at least right now, Iran has not demonstrated that they have the will to explicitly bring out in the open their nuclear capabilities. Until they've done that, this shit's going to continue. Or the Chinese are going to have to step in and say, okay, we're now extending a nuclear umbrella to our Iranian friends. Without that, this goes on forever and ever and ever. And just like I've been saying for the longest time, this is going to be a protracted, drawn-out war. Now, what does that mean for you? Well, because public support is really approaching very dismal levels, emergency levels from the administration's point of view, it could be like the worse it gets, the greater the incentive will be for them to conduct some sort of false flag attack. And the Iranians, perhaps foolishly, indicated that they were going to start attacking all of the big tech firms. Now, a lot of these big tech agencies, I believe they have data centers throughout the Middle East, which doesn't make much sense to me because I guess energy is abundant, but it's so hot there and cooling things down. Anyways, I'm sure they have a way to do it that's beyond my pay grade. It's just a really unstable place to build that stuff, but they could also be talking about cyber. So they kind of set themselves up, because think about it. What would motivate people to support this conflict? Something has to affect you as an American, Canadian, European, you know, golden billion, whatever. It has to affect us for us to want to endure higher gas prices. Well, how do we develop a begrudging attitude towards the Iranians that simply doesn't exist for a lot of people right now? A lot of people don't understand why the hell we're in this war. Well, you have to hurt us in some way, right? And by that, maybe not doing it physically, because, you know, if there ever was some tribunal in the future, it wouldn't look good if they got caught. But if there was a, you know, a victimless cyber attack, in the sense that there was no bloodshed immediately, but you couldn't have access to your bank accounts. Blast those Iranians! You know, I was supposed to go on a date tonight and now I can't because of those Iranians who, you know, caused the bank system to freeze up, or, you know, caused the stock market to freeze up, and now I can't trade, or I can't pull up my money, or this or that. And you could see how this would be killing two birds with one stone. Because if you know the market's going to crash, and you know that we're teetering on the brink of a debt bubble that's about to burst, then you could do the great reset thing economically with a major cyber attack and blame it on the Iranians. So you get your war and you get your CBDCs with one fell swoop. I think this is going to happen, man. I think if not that, because I don't even think at this point the number of troops that would have to die to cause people to want to double down, which is what the mega loyalists will do. As soon as their troops coming home, there's going to be two classes of people. One class of people is saying, we need to end this war. The other class of people are going to want to double down. And I think that because Americans tend to be very patriotic, a lot of them are going to want revenge. And so it's going to be 50-50. Now, if you want to get it to 70-30 in the favor of the war, you have to do something that impacts everybody. And even if people don't openly admit it, they will tacitly support a troop surge in that direction if it means getting their money back or resolving this issue that now affects me. Even the gas price thing, if they're able to make the association of it's Iran's fault that you're paying higher gas prices, even though we unilaterally, in an unprovoked way, declared war on a country who wasn't any threat to us whatsoever, if they can convince people that it's Iran's fault that food prices are so high and you can't get the things that you want to get at Walmart because the other countries are too busy just fending for their lives because they don't have, they're not privileged enough to have abundant gasoline and oil like we do over here, well, then maybe they can convince people. Anyways, just a few things for you guys to think about today. I think I'm going to leave it there. I was going to talk about a little bit about, you know, this nuttery here, but just understand, you know, fake people are so easy to spot, man. That's why I don't wear, you know, I have guests on who wear suits and ties, and a lot of them just do that because they've worked in professional jobs, you know, but then there's these fake people with the puffer lips and the big Botox ingested lips and all that other crazy purge mask like stuff. And anybody like that, anybody who gets as done up as Kristi Noem for a press conference is a psychopath. Okay. A pure and utter psychopath. And it's no wonder why you could tell who was wearing the pants in that relationship, right? So it's like Chris Rock says, whoever you hate ends up in your family. I believe the psychoanalytical term, the Freudian term, is reaction formation. That which you despise about yourself and hide within yourself, you will hate to see it in others because it reminds you of yourself, and thus you have this insecurity that motivates you to try to be the exact opposite of that thing when deep down you're that thing. And a lot of these people in these positions, that's what they're working through. Okay. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are just going to follow these people to the ends of the earth. And If only people understood. If only people understood how much of a clown show it all was. Yeah. Okay, I want to leave on one thing. So yesterday, I made a video. I was talking about potassium iodide that we still have at CanadianPreparedness.com in gas masks. And I got a couple messages this morning. Look, our prices right now are 60% off. We're liquidating, okay? I don't care if people buy anything at this point because I'm actually losing money on a lot of this stuff, and I just want to kind of unburden myself from it so I can strictly focus on YouTube, so it's a loss that I'm willing to incur. And at the same time, I get to, you know, help out people who've helped out the channel over the years. But there's always that 1% of customers, and 99% of my customers, I love you guys to death. I thank you for supporting me for so long and allowing me to reach this level where I'm currently at. But there's always that 1% of really greedy people who are never happy enough. We're currently having a promotion, just so you guys are aware of what's going on, where you can get 60% off a gas mask plus get potassium iodide. And there's still people bitching, oh, he said I get a free gas mask in the video. No, I didn't. You're getting, and honestly, the prices that were already there were already too low because of the new round of inflation that we're going to see that's going to ramp up the cost of all of these items by 30, 40, 50% in the next couple of years. So, you know, this is part of the reason why I got out of the game. This is like 1% of the reason why I got out of the game. And it's just greedy people who are always trying to scam you. And again, this is only 1% of people. I don't care if you buy it. I will sit on it for years if I have to, okay? So don't try to haggle if you want it. I'm being soup Nazi at this point. You know, I'm going to be saying to people, if you're complaining about 60% off a gas mask and free potassium iodide that the U.S. government has basically now commandeered production of and they're hoarding it all for themselves, you're going to complain? No soup for you. That's it at this point, because I'm getting out of the game anyways, so I don't care. So if you're going to try to haggle anything below that, forget about it. Your order will be canceled. For the rest of you, I love you. Thank you for the support. I got to go, guys. Take care. See you tomorrow.